Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw Wednesday night preview night. We've got a game in just a couple of days in Doak Campbell Stadium. I don't mean to be all doom and gloom, but probably the last ranked 80,000 person game that we'll ever see inside of Doak Campbell Stadium. So maybe a little bit sad to hear that. But nonetheless, we are here to not talk about stadium renovations, but to talk about Florida State and Duke. Our sincerest apologies for Richie being late tonight. For once, it wasn't my fault. It was him. So, Richie, how's your week going?
Good, man. Been a very busy week, but, you know, we're here 2 days from the weekend. Florida State with another primetime nationally televised game. You know, it's weird to say Florida State versus Duke is potentially the biggest game left on the schedule in the regular season for Florida State. But that's kind of where we're at right now, and I'm really excited to get to Saturday night.
All right, so let's start there. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. I'm going to go by and get me some chicken tomorrow, so shout out Guthrie's. But, all right, so we say that. Like, we say potentially the biggest game left on the schedule, but, like, we'll get to score predictions and stuff later. And we're not looking ahead on our preview show by any means. But I've got us beating this team by more than we beat Florida and Miami. Are you in the same boat?
I don't know yet.
Like, my mind might change later, but as of today, I feel like those are closer.
I don't know yet. I feel like a lot of Florida State media and people talk about the game are kind of disrespecting Duke a little bit. And I wonder, you know, if they had the U on the side of their helmet and they were, you know, sitting here one loss with a close loss to Notre Dame, ranked in the top 20 in the country, what would it look like? You know, it's kind of like when Florida State, you know, goes into Chapel Hill and both teams are ranked in the top 25 in basketball. I feel like Florida State gets disrespected a little bit. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I do think Miami and Florida are going to be very difficult games. This game being at home at night, you know, I feel like Duke is the darling, the Cinderella story of college football right now. We'll see what happens. Like you said, we'll get to our score predictions, but strictly, TJ, from a ranking standpoint, the biggest game left on the schedule, all most right, likely in the regular
I'll buy
season.
That. Richie's not down to disrespect Duke. I'm fine disrespecting Duke. Yeah, like 0-19, like that's totally fine with me. Like, bring it on. Like, we're going to be disrespectful here tonight, at least from this side of the thing. So, all right, Florida State, Duke, 7:30. Florida State, a 14. I mean, even Vegas is disrespecting Duke. 14.5-point favorite, an over-under of 49. So what's that, like a 31-17 type win? I think that, you know, Vegas is telling you that this spread could be pretty big. Florida State should kind of win this going away. And I think that what that is probably indicative of is that usually in college football, there is a, you know, I don't really think it's that disrespectful to Duke. I'll say this. I think that in college football, there's usually a pretty wide gap between like your top three or four teams and then yeah, your middle of the road ranked teams. Like, you know, I think, you know, who else is down there, you know, with Duke in the rankings? You know,
Utah,
around that,
USC.
Yeah, you know, if USC
Ole
and
Miss,
Georgia played.
Yeah, if
USC and Georgia played, or Ole Miss and Michigan, or Notre Dame's 15 Notre Dame against 3 Ohio State, I mean, those are all going to be 2 touchdown favorites too, you know, if not more. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think it's super disrespectful, but I do think that there's an expectation that Florida State should go out and very much handle business. You know, Duke was pretty dominant last week, as you have noted here, in a 24-3 win over NC State. Now, they only threw the ball 12 times because they had their backup, but I think the question around everybody's mind is what will happen with Riley Leonard, and where will that kind of fit in? Coach had some thoughts today, basically said that they thought that he looked like he might be good to go. Certainly have some thoughts around that. But I guess before we get to that, Richie, last week's Duke game, you have it noted here that it was kind of similar to that Clemson win for Duke a few weeks ago, where Duke maybe outgained, but just finished a little bit better than NC State did. I know Hunter's not going to like to hear that.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I don't think anybody, you know, who actually watches college football would pick Duke to do that again to Clemson if they were to play this week. Whether it was at Wade Wallace, neutral, or, you know, Death Valley, it wouldn't matter. I think, you know, we watched the Clemson game, right? A lot of us did because we were still riding that high from the LSU win. So we wanted to see some more college football. And Clemson just gave that game away. And I'm not saying Duke wouldn't have won because they played really well. And they do have a good defense. But Clemson did everything in their power to make sure Duke won that game. NC State, maybe not as much, but I'm just, you know, they outgained them. I think it was close, 305 to 301 in total yards. Like you mentioned, Duke threw the ball 12 times. They found a way to kind of run it down NC State's throat, which was pretty surprising. But, you know, it shows Duke is – they're just a good, well-coached football team. They do not have Florida State's talent. And I think that it ultimately is going to be the difference come this weekend.
I got stuck on mute for just a moment.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
Thank you, Josh. I wish that was a better looking thing, but our software doesn't link up as well with the YouTube characters that you guys send in. And then Bo on Venmo just took the lead back from Josh. So Harlan's got to reorganize it real quick. Bo on Venmo. Play another one for us, Harlan.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
All right. So Elko, thank you, Bo. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you guys for the support. Elko came out and said that Leonard might be good to go. Richie, if he plays this weekend, like how effective is he coming off of that high ankle sprain? Like mobility is such a big part of his game. Do you have thoughts on whether he plays, whether that's just some gamesmanship, trying to have Florida State prepare for it? I mean, Norvell already said they were preparing for it. And no disrespect to the backup, but I don't think you have to prepare extra for the backup in there that threw four completions last week. Thoughts on, you know, I guess, first of all, whether or not Leonard plays in your mind and how effective he can be if he's not, if he is in there.
I certainly think he's going to come out dressed in full uniform, take some pregame snaps. I'd be shocked if he played. You know, I think this is entirely gamesmanship. We kind of saw it last week against NC State when he went out there warmed up. But if you saw the highlights from him warming up, TJ, he could barely push off it that foot. He clearly was not going to play last week, and Elko knew that. But he, I think, was trying to give Mike Norvell something to think about. And I think with his comments today or yesterday, whenever it was, it's the exact same thing. He's trying to give Mike Norvell something to think about. You know, I think Mike Norvell is going to be prepared for both, but I would be shocked if Leonard actually does play this weekend. I just don't see it happening. What about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't be shocked. I just don't know why you would do it. You know, unless he was 100%, which I don't think he is, you know, I think you'd have made a pretty definitive statement and you'd try to have your team rallied behind that energy and that excitement. And it'd be everywhere, you know, the people that cover the team locally. Oh yeah, he's in there. He's making all the throws. He looks great. And so if he's 100%, I think you do it. I don't think it's smart to trot him out there. Especially because if you could just get through this Florida State game and, you know, Florida State could lose this game. There's no doubt about it. Duke has a good defense. We'll break the game down a little more here in a minute. But, like, you're probably going to lose the game anyway. You know, you're probably still going to be, like, a 12, 13-point dog even if he's out there. Maybe 11. Maybe he's worth 3 points in Vegas. So, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't risk it in a game that I was probably going to lose anyway. I would
next week save is him. Much more important, TJ.
Yes, I'd save him for the rest of the year. Because if they lose to Florida State and then win out, they get a rematch with FSU. Like they're going to beat UNC, they're going to beat Louisville, they're going to be in Charlotte. And so to me, you don't ever want to wave the white flag, you don't want to wave the towel, but like you're probably going to lose to FSU anyway. So why would you send him out there at 80% or 70% and risk hurting him further, which an ankle is certainly like that kind of thing. It's not a bruise where you are just, whoa, you know, a talent management thing. Yeah, we did Josh in just a sec, but like, it's not like a talent or like a injury pain management thing. it's like a, you could certainly injure your high ankle sprain worse. And so I just don't think it'd be worth it. All right, Josh.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Look at Josh.
Certainly did it big there.
Yeah, one more, Harlan. Play two on that.
You a recruit and you ain't going to Florida State. What you doing?
I feel like we got some recruiting to talk about here just a little bit. Yeah. Give me that leaderboard. Go Noles. Josh, my man. I appreciate you, buddy. Came by the tailgate. Was a great time. Leaderboard's all yours, my dude. So, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't play him. There's no way I'd play him. If they do, I don't think he's super effective.
Like you said, TJ, it's a mistake if they do play him, in my opinion, because there's no way he's 100% based on how he looked last Saturday in pregame warmups. Again, I think this is simply gamesmanship. And if Elko's being smart and he wants 100% Riley Leonard against Florida State, he's going to save him, and it's going to be in Charlotte. Because next week against Louisville, if Duke can beat Louisville next week, they essentially have a two-game lead on Louisville in the conference at that point. And now it comes down to that North Carolina game. And if you beat North Carolina, you're in Charlotte. So it unless Elko legitimately thinks somehow, which is not going to happen, if he thinks they can get to the college football playoff, then yeah, you play him if he's available. He's smart enough to know that. It's one of those tricky situations. You don't want to let your team know, like, yeah, we're not getting to the playoff, guys, and we're probably going to lose to Florida State anyway. But, you know, he's in a bad spot, but I think what it comes down to, you don't play him. You save him for Louisville because you play a 80% Riley Leonard against Louisville in a much higher clip than you would play a 80% Riley Leonard against Florida State. Just given the situation, the way things set up, you know, what Duke has coming up on the schedule, you want Leonard healthy for Louisville next week, especially, and then North Carolina, because that's going to probably have a really good chance at deciding who gets to Charlotte is that Duke Carolina game. You know, we'll see what Louisville does the rest of the way, but if Duke does beat Louisville, then yeah, I think Duke UNC, and we're not talking basketball, TJ, Duke UNC could decide who gets a trip to Charlotte to play for an ACC championship.
Who gets to go lose to the Noles in Charlotte. So I think we got a comment about that, you know, Duke UNC game. I kind of agree there. Like, I think that game would be phenomenal. Duke wants to ground it out, play good defense. UNC, like, high-flying offense with Tez Walker. Like, that game would be fun. Clash of styles. Let those two teams beat up on each other while we're going at it with North Alabama. I think that's the week before the rivalry week. Or maybe that's the last week of the year. No, it shouldn't be.
The 11th, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be a ton of fun. I'm all about that. Duke, Carolina for winner gets us. Although I'd still like to play Louisville. I'd be totally fine with Louisville making it. I just don't think they will at this point. So, Duke wants to – if Leonard doesn't play, clearly they – want to run the ball. Their defense is really good. Kind of an old school approach. They certainly are okay with grinding that clock down. I think that's something to kind of know and be aware of this weekend. Possessions could be limited. And so Florida State at times, you know, Virginia Tech, they start really fast. And I guess against Syracuse, they started well. They scored on the first possession. But, probably need to avoid going into like the lulls of – oh man, three straight drives of the punt, because three straight drives of the punt could be like two quarters against Duke with the way they like to grind it out and run the ball and use up a lot of clock. Florida State's defense, we talked about this, you know, very bend, don't break. I think they'll try to limit the rushing attack, especially if Leonard's not in there. But Duke runs the ball very effectively. And so I, you know, wouldn't say they're the best rushing team that Florida State's seen just yet or anything like that, but they want to run the ball. They want to limit possessions. They want to chew up as much clock as they can. Their best defense, as good as their defense is, S&P Plus has them at, I believe I just looked at number 14. For perspective, Clemson is 9. And Florida State's like, I don't know, 16 or 18 or something, somewhere maybe 20, somewhere in there. So for perspective, they've got a good defense. But as good as that defense is, I think their best defense possible is to keep Florida State off the field, you know, as much as they can. And so I expect them to kind of grind it out. Even if Leonard's there, you know, they'll use his legs a little bit more, I would think. But I think they're good limiting Florida State's possessions. And if, you know, Florida State, you know, in any given game gets what, 12 or so possessions, if they can get that number to like 9 or 10, I feel like they think they have a much better chance, right? Because you're going to score on about half your possessions. That pulls the score way, way down. Maybe we score 35 instead of 42. Maybe that's 31 if one of them's a field goal, and maybe Duke has a shot. So thoughts on them running the ball, thoughts on defense, the style of the game, what you expect this weekend?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to be looking to run the ball. You know, we'll see what happens. Jordan Waters went 13 carries for 123 yards last week. That did include an 83-yard long, so, you know, it's slightly skewed a little bit. But yeah, I agree. They're going to want to shorten the game, and they may even try and you know, pull a page out of Boston College's playbook from when we played them earlier this year, where when Florida State's on offense, if I'm Mike Norvell, I'm substituting as little as possible, because if you remember Boston College, you know, by college rules, if the offense substitutes, the defense is allowed time to get their substitutes out. They can jog onto the field. Then you can send a second wave of subs in at a different position level and really eat up the play clock. I think that's probably Mike Elko. He's a smart guy. He's definitely watched that. He's going to try and do that as well. So if I'm Mike Norvell, get 11 men out on the field that you feel good with running some tempo and not having to substitute often. And if you do, I think, you know, if the offense is efficient, you're not going to have much to worry about. You just don't want to be in a game where you get, you know, 9 to 11 possessions or whatever it could be. You know, that Florida State Boston College game, I think Florida State only had the ball 3 or 4 times in the first half. And, you know, that's how you equalize a game. The better players are going to win the more possessions that both teams get. And Florida State certainly has better players than Duke, but I definitely think that is going to be their game plan and what they're going to try to do. To your point, TJ, shorten the game and try and, you know, get Florida State in a dogfight where, you know, Duke would love nothing more than to play in a game that ends something like 21-24 where a field goal decides it at the end. They do not want to play in a shootout. If I'm Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins, and I have no doubt they have this plan, they're going to try and get as many possessions as possible. But if you're not efficient on, you know, second and long and third and medium to where you're getting those first downs, you're going to be in a dogfight in the fourth quarter.
Do you have a magic number? Have you thought about that? We haven't talked about that a ton. We haven't played a lot of opponents. I guess Clemson is one that we, you know, could have done this for, certainly LSU. But do you have a magic number of like where you think, you know, if Florida State gets to this number, if Duke can hold us below this number, like what are your thoughts on some of that?
I think 27 wins the game because, you know, Duke's strength is to run the ball, and Florida State's defense is very good against the run, especially against running backs. You know, we did not see Henry Bellin run the ball too much. I think he had 5 carries for 28 yards last week against NC State. So he's not, you know, in his only start that we've seen, you know, he's not just going to run the ball over like Cassianos from Boston College. So I think 27 points, you win comfortably, and by comfortable I mean like maybe 27-21. Duke I think has to hold Florida State honestly under 20 points, and I just don't know if they can do that, because I think Florida State's defense will do a very good job against this Duke offense.
Yeah, I like 27. I think that's good. I think if you're the Florida State defense, like where do you kind of see yourselves in this? I think you want to try and I don't know that it's super important as to where this lands, but, you know, I kind of look at that Clemson game, and Clemson held them to what? I mean, it was 24, but they were like 14 or 17 points off of turnovers. And so you'd like to kind of be on par with them, right? I think Florida State could certainly win this game if it got up into the 30s and 40s. I mean, they'd be very comfortable winning this game 41-38, and you know, the Noles would be happy to get into a shootout. But I don't think you should get into a shootout with Duke. I think you should probably hold them to around 7. Around 17 is my number that I'd really like to see Florida State hold Duke to in this. And then, yeah, I think if the Noles get anywhere close to 30, I was going to say 30 is kind of my magic number, but I think 27 is, you know, right in line with that. If you can get to 30, I don't really see a way that Duke scores more than 30 unless you have meltdowns like Clemson did, where you're turning the ball over inside your own one and fumbling the ball at the 10 and throwing an interception, you know, just mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. So let me give a shout out to my guy Josh that donated. They do a great job over on his bourbon channel. Deck Night on the Rocks. Go check them out if you're in any kind of bourbon, whiskey, rye, whatever you like. They do a good job there. They brought us some bourbon by the tailgate, so shout out him. I saw your DM just there, Josh, so I appreciate that. What else we got, Richie? What are we, defensive back, Miles Jones, top rated quarterback, cornerback, halfway through the season by PFF. He ain't seen anybody like Keon Coleman yet though. So we'll see if he can hold that rating up, through the weekend. Thoughts on the way that Duke should try to defend, you know, it's a conundrum for sure. Now, if you have Clemson's athletes, it's a little easier, and Clemson did a great job with it. But best way for Duke to try and defend this Florida State offense?
Yeah, I'll go on the record saying I think Keon Coleman has been the best receiver in the country. I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is what he is, but based on what we've seen this season, I think it's Keon Coleman. TJ, what are you hearing on Johnny Wilson? Obviously, we know he returned to practice this week. Are you expecting him to play this weekend?
Yeah, so I actually haven't checked on that once. There's so much recruiting stuff going on that I kind of forgot that we have a team that's ranked in the top five and playing a ranked matchup this weekend. So we'll talk recruiting here in a minute. But yeah, that's a good question. I probably should have checked on this. But in all seriousness, I spoke with two people last week that told me Johnny was going to be out. We said that we thought that was going to be the case here on the live show, and then I tweeted that on Thursday, confirmed it on Friday, and then I saw that. Some of the national guys caught up on Saturday and reported that as well. So hats off to them. But I was told when I was told he was out last week, I was told that he would be back this week. So I really haven't checked on that a ton, but as of, I was told by multiple people when I was told that he was out last week, he would be back this week. So I expect Johnny back out there again. I haven't used any of my lifelines on player stuff. It's all been recruiting. So that's kind of what's dominated the week in my mind. But I would expect Johnny to be back. I'd expect Florida State to be pretty fully healthy on both sides of the ball this week. And I don't really think there are any real concerns. Nobody held out of practice that I'm worried about. There were a couple of guys that didn't practice last week and I was a little bit worried about. I'm not even going to say who they are at this point because they did play, and one of them played really, really well. Nobody held out of practice that I've been made aware of. Nobody that I'm worried about at all. I think, for the most part, everybody's going to be out there and kind of ready to go. I mean, we've got 2 days until the game. So, knock on wood that nobody sprains an ankle getting out of the shower or something stupid like that. But I feel pretty good about where we're at injury wise. And so if Johnny's out there and Keon's out there and Bell's out there and, J Trav and Benson are out there, I think it's a tall task for a good Duke defense. They're good, but they've not seen anything like this just yet.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And like I said, Miles Jones, he is a phenomenal defensive back. But, when you have Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, that changes everything. Because, okay, which side is he going to line up on? Because it doesn't matter, especially when you have a Jaheim Bell, a Destin Hill, a Hakeem Williams, who I don't know if you saw this, CJ, hit 20 miles an hour on that touchdown run last weekend. Florida State just has so many weapons. If Jordan Travis can just find the Jordan Travis form of last year, there's not a secondary in the country that scares me. And that might sound cocky. I don't care. But that's how talented and good this Florida State quarterback offensive line, specifically when it comes to pass pro and receiving core, is. They are just that good. And there's nobody that scares me. And Duke, again, very well coached, good players. They don't have the athletes to match up with Florida State. They just don't. And I think that will be on full display Saturday night in Doak Campbell Stadium.
So if you can avoid some of the crazy stuff, if you can avoid some of the, things like turnovers, special teams plays that can keep teams that you're a lot better than in a game, I think that that's probably, what you need to kind of focus on. I mean, take care of the things that you can control. It's a 7:30 game. It's going to be crazy in Doak. I get it. But It's that stuff should not affect Florida State. Like, that should be the kind of stuff that affects Duke. And man, this weekend should be a ton of fun. Thoughts on them? One more that you have here, and then we'll go to some prize pick stuff. We'll talk about the playoff, and then we'll do a little recruiting at the very end. Don't let me forget that before we get out of here, because we'll go right through that other stuff. And last week, we didn't even do score predictions. You believe that?
I know.
So I'll go right through this, and we won't talk any recruiting, and that would be bad. So you think Duke tries to play it safe here, or tries to be pretty risky to see if they might be able to steal one, snag one? Do you try and hold some stuff back? Do you, again, you don't want to concede this game by any means at all, but do you play it safe, see what it looks like in the fourth quarter, and then do some stuff? Do you maybe hold some stuff back in case there's a rematch in Charlotte? Like, what are your thoughts on the way that Duke plays this thing?
I think it mainly comes down to how the first few drives go, right? If Duke, say they get off to a hot start and, you know, somehow end up 14-3, I think that completely changes Elko's mindset to say, all right, let's go for the jugular here. But if the game goes like I think it will, it'll be a slow start, both teams feeling each other out. We know Florida State almost always starts quick. If Florida State gets up, you know, 17-3, you know, even 14-0 early on, I think Elko at that point says, hey, you know, we still have a lot to play for this season, and there's still a lot available to us. Let's just get out of here, guys, healthy. And to your point, TJ, save some stuff for Charlotte, because in Elko's mind, he probably firmly believes, win or loss, Duke can get to Charlotte this year. They're undefeated in conference right now. So, you know, that Notre Dame loss was a stinger for them, but it doesn't change anything as far as the ACC picture goes. So I think if Florida State gets off to a hot start like they did last week, Elko, not going to concede the game, but he's going to call it much differently. You know, but again, the one thing you cannot do is let Duke get off to a hot start, because you give them life. Again, they're a good defense. Florida State's athletes are much better on offense than Duke has on defense, but they are extremely well coached. They're going to be extremely well prepared, and they are good. They just are, which is weird to say about Duke football. So I think that first quarter is going to tell everything. But if you get out to a fast start, I think by this could be another Jordan Travis, you know, ball cap and clipboard game in the fourth quarter.
That would be nice. Certainly wouldn't complain about anything there. All right. Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement. Even if you had like little wrinkles or little tricks, like if you get down like 17-3 or something early and it's just kind of trending away, I mean, it might not even be saving that stuff for Charlotte. It might be saving that stuff for Louisville next week or UNC at the end of the year, you know, because you know, if Florida State wins this game, you hate to start to count your chickens before they hatch, but they're going to be a massive favorite to go to Charlotte at that point. You know, I think they would only need to win two of their remaining three games. And I honestly think it could be any two of the three. I think beating Miami would be probably the most ideal of those three, just due to common opponents. But you know, Louisville's already got the loss to Pitt. So like there's some different like kind of things or way to think about that. But I believe that if you beat Wake and Pitt, the Miami game doesn't even matter for Charlotte. Now, obviously the Miami game matters for a lot of things. And so don't quote me on saying that game doesn't matter. But yeah, if you beat Duke, you're going to go into Wake Forest next week and be a huge favorite. And then you're going to go into Pittsburgh and probably be a two score favorite there as well. I mean, if not, load up on the Noles. So I think that, yeah, this game's huge. You win this, and you don't want to book the private flight just yet out of Tallahassee, because you know the games still have to be played, as our rivals are finding out these days. But I do think that you're in pretty good shape to make it back to the Queen City if you can win this one this weekend. So, all right, let's do a little Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the daily fantasy app that you guys need to be on and playing. You can use our code DFNS when you sign up. It's the best way to have action on games in states like Florida, Texas, California, Georgia, wherever you're at. It's like 70% of the U.S. can use the Prize Picks app. The link is in the description. You can also use our code DFNS. If you already have an account, create a new one and use our code DFNS. It only works on new accounts though. So if you have an account, create a new one. Go get that deposit bonus again. 100% match up to $100. We do the more or less segment every week. We appreciate Prize Picks for their support. Go sign up for the app today. Make a little money with us. Hey, I've been taking Jordan Travis's under on interceptions, and I've hit it 2 weeks in a row. I think I'm going to let it ride this week. I don't think I'm going to do it again. But I did take the over on Trey Benson last week. That hit. I took the over on Keon Coleman. That hit. Very easy. Hit. Yeah, very easy. I think he hit in the first quarter, and then he had that, like, that 70-yard, you know, catch and run touchdown. So really, really easy. Make sure you're on the Prize Picks app. Good stuff there. Appreciate them for their support. Richie, what we got this week?
Yeah, so we'll start it off. Obviously, some Prize Picks. No Florida State lines out just yet. I think they're probably being a little cautious to see if Riley Leonard plays or not. But we'll start Jordan Travis. But this is actually an official Vegas line, not a Barnes Sportsbook line. Jordan Travis, 253.5 pass yards, TJ.
I'll go more here. I think Florida State opens it up a little bit. I think Jordan goes over that. 253 point. Yeah. Give me over. Or yeah, more. Sorry.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with you on more on that one. We kind of talked about this, and
I was on more as well. This one,
I'm just not sure about. I guess I'll go first. Riley Leonard, 1.5 snaps taken. I'm actually struggling with this one. You know, I've made it clear I don't think he will play, but if this game is close and say, I don't know, there's a injury to Bellin, but the game's close late in the second quarter. Do they trot Riley Leonard out there? I'm going to take the less, but I'm not feeling great on that one. I don't think he starts, but I'm not positive he won't play at all. How about you, TJ?
Harlan's got more on this as well. I'm going to go less. I'm going to go he doesn't start. We got a question here, though. What about us Georgia folks? Sign up for the Prize Picks apps when you're in Tallahassee this weekend. So that's the best way to tell you to do that, Jacob. All right, go ahead, Richie.
Next one, Keon Coleman. Essentially, does he find the end zone or not? 0.5 touchdowns. I think he does. I just think he was unlocked last week to another level. I'm going to take more on this one. How about you?
Okay, I'll go more, and Harlan's going more as well. So should we raise it up to 1.5? Does anybody want more on 1.5?
No, that's a tough one because I do think, again, this is a good Duke defense.
All right, Harlan's taking it. I'll take the less on 1.5.
I'll take less on 1.5 as well, so we can eliminate Harlan there. We'll leave
Harlan out to dry there. Nobody ever checks these anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
All right. Trey Benson, again, this is another official Vegas line. I will not say which sports book because they do not pay us, but Trey Benson, 75.5 rush yards. I'll start it. I'll say less this week.
Yeah, I'll go more. I think Trey's found something. I think that he's good to bust at least one big one off. Harlan's got more as well, but I'll go more here.
All right. So again, another official Vegas line, Keon Coleman, 70.5 receiving yards, more or less. I'm going to take the more. I just think this guy is amazing.
Yeah, more on Coleman here. Harlan said more on every single one so far. So that's fun.
But yeah, Harlan has officially picked Florida State to win 82-10. All right.
Yeah, Harlan will pick Duke by 3. I can already tell. That's how
all right. Duke total yards, 345.5 on offense this week.
I'll go less. I'll go a little bit less on this. I mean, I trust our defense. I know we play bend, don't break. I wish you'd have done points here. It would have been a little easier for me, but listen, I've been a staunch Adam Fuller defender on the timeline these days. And so I'm going to – Coach, I'm trusting you. I'm riding with you. I believe you. So Harlan's less as well. I'm less. What you got, Richie?
I'll say more. In my score prediction, we'll say why in a little bit, but I'll give him a little more on that one. And that'll do it for the Prize Picks more or less session. Do you want to do recruiting first? Playoff contender?
Let's check do playoffs. In? Let's do playoffs.
All right.
Do playoffs. Recruiting in just a minute. These people can chill for a minute.
All right. So this week, there's really only two games that really matter when it comes to the cultural playoff, unless there's just a massive upset. You know, the big game of the week, number 7, Penn State at number 3, Ohio State. We talked about the Pac-12 and Big 12 Big 10 will cannibalize themselves. This is one of those games, potentially, depends what happens. And then number 17, Tennessee at number 11, Bama, a sneaky good game. Do you think either's games, I guess the big one, do you have Bama winning? Because if so, I think they're the biggest sleeper, even though they're the biggest brand name, right? They've won all these national titles. But outside of the top 10, I think that they have the best chance to get to the playoff of any teams outside of the top 10. But Penn State, Ohio State, that's the real one because you know, the winner of that game is in the driver's seat for the college football playoff, TJ.
Yeah. So as far as Bama goes, yeah, I think they're the team, you know, like you see like these power ratings and stuff that comes out, like you watch the Pate poll or whatever, and Bama's still favored, you know, above like just about everybody else in college football. Like they're still kind of top five, you know, on a head-to-head basis. Like if Bama and Oklahoma played right now, Washington, you know, Penn State, like Bama's going to be favored against all those teams. And so, yeah, I think they certainly have a chance, and they control their own destiny. They get to play LSU. They will play Tennessee this weekend, another top 20 team. And then, you know, if they make it, they'll play Georgia in the in Atlanta. And so they certainly could still work their ways back into it. Hey, I, you know, Tennessee's kind of in the same boat though. They're 5-1. If they get a win against an Alabama team that people, you know, Alabama has not been as good this year, but if they can get a win against an Alabama team that's number 11 right now in the country, I mean, they're going to vault up to like 13th or so in the rankings. And, you know, they have a date with Georgia coming soon. And I know they look like crap against Florida, and they really didn't put it on Texas A&M like they probably should have. But, yeah, if they can somehow get by Alabama, somehow get by Georgia, and they're sitting there with one loss and 9-10 wins, I mean, we're going to be talking about Tennessee possibly making the playoff. Now, I don't think that happens by any means. But, yeah, certainly both of those teams are capable. Yeah, I think Ohio State takes care of Penn State. Like, I do have the Buckeyes winning that, and, you know, not really stepping out on too far of a limb there by picking the team that, you know, is favored and is at home. But I actually think Ohio State wins. I think they cover. I think they kind of win, not going away as in like blowing them out, but I think the moment's a little too big for Penn State. And I think Ohio State does it and does it fairly easily. So that's kind of, you know, I don't see the Noles moving up this weekend in the rankings. If they lose, maybe, you know, if Ohio State loses, maybe, but I don't really care about that one way or the other. I would be fine with Penn State winning this thing just so that we could move up one. And then maybe one other one real quick, you know, maybe a couple of sleepers, but I mean, Utah USC is 14-18. Both teams have one loss. If either of them were to run the table, they would be in that conversation late. Now, I'm certainly not buying back into USC. I'm also not buying into Utah, but if either one of those teams was to run the table, they would be right there in the conversation, I guess is my point.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my biggest one is I have not bet this game yet, but I am seriously considering Penn State on the money line. I don't think Ohio State, they're really, really good. They're an elite football team, right? But I think being a noon game, you know, if this was an 8 p.m. kickoff, I might look at it a little differently, but I just have a gut feeling Penn State is going to go into Columbus and knock off Ohio State this week. So we'll see what happens there. And yeah, I think Bama wins again this week, and it's going to be interesting because if Bama runs the table, gets to Atlanta and beats Georgia, they're in. Like, there's no question. They are in at that point. I think those are the two big ones. I think USC is kind of done just because even the Colorado game, which they won, is going to be held against them where they allowed, you know, Deion's team to come back and nearly steal that game from them. But, you know, the awesome part about college football in this season and the schedule upcoming, there's going to be games like this every single week, it seems like, going forward, where someone's going to maybe not be eliminated, but they're going to be knocked down basically with a 9 count and have to get back up and try and, you know, take it from there. So I'm excited. I think those are the two main games, but I'm leaning Penn State money line right now. I don't know if I'll feel that way come Friday night, Saturday morning, but that's, I have a feeling Penn State's beating Ohio State.
I like it. I like that we don't agree more than anything. I mean, I like your take. Well, I don't like your take because I like the other team, but I just like that we don't agree on this. So, okay, here's a question. Harlan wanted to get a little question in. Yeah, we'll talk recruiting here in just a moment, even though this is a Duke preview show. But where is Florida State ranked when the first college football playoff rankings come out in, what is it, on Halloween, very end of the month? Where is FSU ranked?
I think it's the week before Halloween. If Florida State's still undefeated, you know, you get through Duke this week. I don't think you're going to lose the next 2 weeks. I think 2 or 3. I'd be shocked if they were any higher than 5. They're definitely in the top 4. I feel very confident saying they'll be in the top 4. But if Florida State beats Duke this week and Duke wins the next week, and Clemson beats Miami the way I think they will this week, yeah, I think it, two or three, in my opinion. How about you, man?
So because I think Ohio State wins, I think we just stay at four. So I know that's not real sexy. I know that's not really exciting, but I think that the College Football Playoff Committee can say as much as they want. They want to, we don't take these other things. I think they will take into account. Like, you have to have a basis, like a frame of reference with how you think about things. And so, like, you can say you're not taking the AP poll into account. You can say you're not taking the coaches poll into account. But you have to do that in your mind when you are saying, like, oh, Ohio State beat Penn State, and so we're giving the Ohio State credit for that win. Well, why are you giving them credit for that win? Well, because Penn State was a good team. Well, how do you know they're a good team? Well, because they were ranked high. So, like, I don't know. In the back of your mind, like, I think the polls do impact these voters and the people on the committee. So I think it'll be four. I don't think we'll be much different. I mean, I could see three. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. But I don't think any of the teams ahead of us lose before then. In fact, two of them have a bye. Michigan plays this weekend, but then they have a bye. And then Georgia has a bye this week and then plays Florida the week after. So I mean, Michigan's going to beat Michigan State this weekend. I think Ohio State beats Penn State and then they have a bye. So yeah, I've got us. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they play at Wisconsin next week. So I don't know. I've got us at four. Three wouldn't shock me. Harlan says two ish or whatever. Harlan says two. Richie's at like two or three, but yeah, I don't know. I got four. Maybe I'm just feeling that 2014 disrespect still.
Yeah, I think we jump Ohio State regardless if they win this week or not. But that, who knows? And granted, the good thing, it doesn't matter because at Florida State, we know if we go 13-0, we will be in the College Football Playoff. I do not care what the ranking is. Controlling your own destiny is a nice thing. The Tampa Bay Bucks and the Florida State Seminoles both controlled their own destiny in their quest for a championship this year as of this week.
On that note, let me give Garnet & Gold some love. GarnetandGold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, thegramcode.com. You can use code TJ25 to get 25% off there. If you're going by Garnet & Gold this weekend, do some in-store, do some online shopping and pick it up in-store. You won't have to fight through all the crowds. You also save on the shipping. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW at Garnet & Gold. It's TJ25 at thegramco.com. All right, little recruiting this week. We talked a little bit about, it's the turquoise week. Listen, all right, guys, I'm not going to say this. Maybe I'll tell you guys off air, but I'm hearing some rumors about this turquoise, this N7 turquoise. If you guys want to know,
you think my quarter zip was a coincidence today, TJ?
I'm hearing some rumors on this point. I'm not going to say what it is on the show. You guys got to subscribe and we'll do a video on it later this week, but I'm hearing some things. So anyway, join the Discord. Recruiting. LJ McCray announces this weekend, obviously a huge recruitment. A lot of signs pointing towards Tallahassee. I spoke with some people today and, I think there's a quiet confidence. I don't think that, LJ has made any kind of indication as to what exactly is going to happen in his recruitment. Anybody out there that's telling you like, oh, well, this is, 1,000% done. Like he's told this staff. He's like, I don't believe he's told any staffs. So I've spoke with people just kind of all over, whether that be UF folks, UGA folks, Miami folks, obviously people are close to FSU. And, there's a lot of information out there. I don't know how much of it's good information. I don't know how much of it's just people trying to take pretty educated guesses. But I do like where FSU stands for LJ at this moment. I think they've done a great job of really closing in on this recruitment. If you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I may have even been on here pretty negative, just kind of saying like, hey, I don't really think that the official visit matters. I don't think that we can get him either way. And I've kind of switched up on that. I think the Noles have done a good job with this. They've closed really, really well. Will they end up landing him? We'll see. A lot of people, KH is right. A lot of people think that Florida State, Georgia are the leaders. I spoke with some UF folks that, they're somewhat confident too. And, then you talk about Miami and I think Miami's going to offer him more money than anybody else. And so they'll try and buy his recruitment. So we'll kind of see how all that goes down and see, you know, like what he picks at the end of the day. But a top 10 kid, he's number 8 on three. He's number 6 on 247. Rivals, as usual, is asleep at the wheel on his ranking. So nothing really crazy there. But I think that he would be one that, you know, we've complained a little bit about defensive line recruiting. He'd be one that we would look at and say, like, hey, we, you know, way to go there, way to wake up on the D-line. So we'll see what happens. I think there's other kids that are visiting this weekend that maybe a few surprises in store. We'll try and keep you updated on that as we can. But stay tuned. I think Florida State's going to have some fireworks kind of going off fairly soon this weekend. So we'll see what happens there. Score predictions. We didn't do this last week, Richie. Harlan, what was yours again?
Shame on us.
Can you bring it back? I don't know why either. Because I think because we were talking about the playoffs so much, we were just like, boom. You know, wham, bam, and we got off here. So Harlan's got 38-21 FSU. Where are you at, Richie?
So I don't know. I'm typically the optimist, right? But I'm not feeling outstanding about this week. I just think Mike Elko is a really good coach, especially defensively. Whether Riley Leonard plays or not doesn't matter to me. I think Florida State's going to win this game regardless. But give me Duke to cover, Florida State to win. I'll say 31-17, Duke covers by half a point, depending on what happens at the end of the game here.
Yeah, I'll go. I like Harlan's 38-21. I'll go a little lower. I'll trust the defense just a tad more. I'll say that Duke scores 17. We score, let's go 38. Let's give my guy, let's give Fitz a little love there. Gets a field goal at some point and remains perfect on the year. So 38-17. I'll give the defense a little bit more credit than Harlan did and say that one of those scores is a field goal, not a touchdown. 38-17, Noles win. It's never in doubt.
I like it.
Richie's like high. It. He's on 6 Gramcos right now, bro. Like, we're not. This is Duke, bro. Get the hell out of here.
We're to the point in the season where I can see the literal light at the playoff tunnel. After those first 4 games, things changed, TJ. When we beat LSU and Clemson, things changed. And now I feel like I have to talk myself down just in case the absolute worst happens. You know, I'm not just devastated by a loss.
No, get out of here. You got any shout outs or anything that before we get out of here?
Nothing on my end this week. Just really excited again. A primetime game. It's nice. I typically play golf at like 7 in the morning. We got like an 11:50 tee time Saturday, but I'll still be home in time to catch the whole game. So just excited for the weekend. I got 2 days left of work and ready to go from there. How about you, TJ?
I don't have anything. I did say this the other week that I want to, try and encourage people to do again. If you're not going to the game and you wish you were, or you want to support the team, but you can't make it, take whatever the face value is of a ticket, which I think is like $35, $40, and donate that to the Battle's End. I think that's kind of a good way to, show some support. If you can't make the game, if you already gave to the Battle's End this week, or you want to do something else, you can also do it to, you know, the boosters, boosters.fsu.edu. If you're not a member at the Battle's End or the boosters, we would certainly encourage it. A lot of you guys are members of our channel, or, you know, Patreons or subscribed or whatever. I'd almost rather you give back to our boosters and the NIL than anything you do to like support us. Now don't stop what you're doing to support us too. But, If you're not a member of our NIL collective, if you're not a member of the boosters, feel free to message me on social media. I'll be happy to like chat with you about that or talk to you about benefits of that or why we do it, why we support. I try to practice what I preach. I got my DJ Lundy signed, whatever this is, picture in the mail the other day from the Battle's End. They sent me I got a little card. Everybody gets one. So go check them out. TheBattlesIn.com. Make sure you're a member. Make sure you're signed up. I'm tired of losing football games. I know we haven't lost in a long time, but tired of losing. So make sure you go support so we can not feel that feeling very much anymore. So, all right, that's all I got. We'll talk to you guys soon. We'll do some more videos. We'll do some more content this week, I'm sure. And we'll be back on Sunday to talk about a 7-0 football team. Love you guys. Go Noles.